Scene 6, Hilda, 1:20 p.m. What the devil was I so panicked about? Done or not done, the matter couldn't possibly be important except in Giles' own nitpicking mind. I knew that at the start. I knew that as I trotted down an escalator moving too slowly for me, ducking past people who were irritated at being shoved and who showed it. Forgetting is human. What could he do to me? Besides, he would have come back last night, seen that the stuff wasn't on the bureau, and gone down to the check room. He would have demanded it, ticket or not, and gotten the manager or the nearest official available at that time of night and made enough fuss either to force the disgorgement of the package or to make the entire hotel aware of the problem. Since nobody seemed aware anything had happened late last night, he had his package and the check room didn't. He had been muttering against me to Sarah because some small inconvenience at the autographing table had put him in mind of a series of inconveniences that had been plaguing him, and I was included. Hadn't I gone through the same sort of thing yesterday? The trouble was I didn't believe it. I ran across the hall to the check room indicated on the ticket. How could I help it when, in common with 100 million others, I had been beaten into conditioned reflex by the age of 10? Did you ever forget an errand you had been sent on by your mother? Did you ever forget to bring your homework to school? There were physical assaults, what else do you call a spanking, and writings of I shall not forget my homework 100 times. Endless humiliations. I was going through it again. My head told me, quite calmly, that the matter was of no importance. My heart thudded, golly, I forgot, golly, I forgot. I was panting fairly noticeably by the time I got to the checkroom counter. There was no one else there at 1:20 p.m. on a warm Memorial Day, and this, fortunately, eliminated one ground for delay. I whistled to attract the attention of an elderly woman in a shapeless green dress. She seemed indignant at being hailed in that fashion, and walked toward me with the attitude of having been a queen in a past reincarnation, in the recent past at that. She had a little nameplate that said she was Hilda, and wore tinted glasses and hair of a somewhat tarnished chemical yellow. I presented the ticket and said, "Is this still here?" I couldn't tell her what I meant by this because I didn't know. She looked at the ticket with an expert eye, as though there were a trick to reading a large black number that only a checkroom attendant knew. She gave it back at last and said, "If you've got the ticket, it's still here. Would you get it then? That'll be another 50 cents. What? That's a yesterday's ticket. You paid 50 cents in advance, but that was only for yesterday. 50 cents more for today." I brought out 2 quarters. "Here you are." She walked leisurely to one side of the room, while I bet myself a breathless 5-2 that she'd come back with the news that it was gone, and I rooted hard for the 5. I lost. She showed up in 20 seconds with a package about 9 inches long, 2 inches across, and 2 inches deep. It weighed perhaps 4 ounces. I said, "Is this what the ticket's for?" She said, "It's your ticket, mister." She was very indifferent to it all. It couldn't be right. Who the devil would pay 50 cents to check something this size? I said, "Listen, did someone come down last night to pick up something without having a ticket?" She said, "How late last night? If it was after 4 in the afternoon, I wasn't on." I turned away. She said, "Someone tried this morning." I turned back. "When this morning?" "Just before 10, I think. I said he couldn't have anything without a ticket, and she dragged him away. Little Pepper. Said he was late for something." I was scarcely listening. He had come to his senses too late, and he was being dragged to the autographing by Henrietta as she had dragged him to the television taping the night before. I was almost sorry for the silly bastard. I said, "You didn't give it to him, then?" "Of course I didn't, not without a ticket." I was about to leave when I thought of one more thing to check. After all, had it been Giles? I said, "Big man, mustache, thick black mustache?" She nodded her head. "Yes, that's right." "Was it this package he wanted?" "How do I know what he wanted? He had no ticket, and I don't listen to anyone without a ticket." I turned away for the last time and made for the elevators. For some reason, Giles hadn't noticed last night that I hadn't delivered the material. For some reason, he hadn't done anything about it till so late this morning that it was too late. He'd been rushed off to the autographing session. No wonder he had been muttering against me. It was fresh in his mind. What room was he in? I checked the key I had as I approached the elevator banks. It was 1511, so I got into the correct elevator and pushed the 15 button. I had perhaps 20 seconds to think up an excuse and avoid, well, minimize recriminations. Nothing came. I would have to say, something came up, Giles, and I didn't have a chance till now. It was almost true, and what the hell could he do about it? My mind said nothing. My heart said, write 100 times, I shall not forget to deliver packages for a friend.